The following program is a JWC Media production for Game Show Newsnet and CLW83.com.
Here with a WLTI Live extra here on the CLW83 network here. As we are approaching the Game Show Emmy Award season and the Daytime Emmys, the nominations will be announced, I believe, this coming Friday, May 1st, and one of the people who is probably going to be involved with multiple nominees and multiple nominations is one of the executive producers of one of the most successful daytime shows and daytime revivals on television. He is the executive producer of Let's Make a Deal. His name is Ben Tridle. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Jason. I need to correct you slightly. I'm not the executive producer. I'm merely a producer on the show.
A producer. My apologies there. I didn't mean to title you high there. But you're one of the people involved with one of the shows. So,
I am. That is the truth. I am. I have been producing on the show now for the 5 seasons that it's been back on the air. So very grateful, very happy, and very excited about it.
Yeah, exactly. And also, for those who don't know, Ben is kind of one of us. You're one of us. You're a game show guy because you were on Jeopardy for a while.
Yeah.
You were a Jeopardy champion, and
yeah.
Eventually you actually got into the business on one of our favorite shows, at least one of my favorite shows, which is called Street Smarts with Frank Nicotero.
Yes, this is true.
What was your experience?
Yes. Love that show.
That was an amazing, amazing show, but. You know, that great, great show. But as we're talking about this, about Let's Make a Deal, I got to ask you this question because I've had this discussion with many people. Is Let's Make a Deal in the current incarnation a game show with improv elements or an improv show with game show elements?
I think my best answer to that is yes.
Right.
Honestly, I think my best answer to that is yes. I think what we have done is we have taken a classic game show, kept every bit of the excitement and the unpredictability of what people will do in any given situation, and then you have Wayne Brady, who is an improv genius, who his nature is to take what is given to him and turn it into gold. So I think the best answer to your question is yes. It is both.
So now the show is right now an incredible success. The ratings have been...
Thank you.
You know, has been increasing and increasing over the last 2 years. As someone who has seen the show grow, why do you think the show has taken off as well as it has?
You know, that's a very good question in the sense that if I had a singular answer for it, I think it would be limiting the show. I think what it is that we've introduced a level of fun and excitement into the daytime programming that you really can't find anywhere else, at least not for what I've seen. Price is Right, a classic as always, and will be there, knock wood, forever and a day, has a certain level of excitement. However, Let's Make a Deal is on a completely different level, simply because of Wayne and because of that very interesting what would you do scenario. The thing that I love about game shows, the thing that draws me to game shows always, is the ability for not only the contestant in the studio to be playing the game or the deal, but also for people at home who are watching, who can put themselves into that situation and ask themselves, what would you do in the same scenario? It's almost impossible to watch the show and either say, I would do the same thing, and let me rephrase that. It would be impossible to watch the show and avoid saying, I would do the exact same thing, or I wouldn't have done what he did. I think the play-along factor is, it's so simple, and yet it just, people want to keep coming back to it again and again. And I think that is our niche. I think that is where people have really latched onto the show.
I think another element of the show that really works is the chemistry between the four players involved. That would be Wayne Brady, of course, Jonathan Mangum, Tiffany Coyne, and Kat Gray.
Yep.
I want to just,
Kat Gray, yeah.
You know, did you, do you notice how seamless the chemistry is?
You know, it's funny because individually they all have very different personalities, and yet they fit like a pie. They really do. They each fit so well together that I can't help but think of how the show would be any other way right now. I really can't. So when that final piece of the pie was added with Kat Gray coming in as the keyboardist and really, he is a musical genius. Wayne will say the same thing. He is absolutely fantastic. He has such a dry wit with him that he's amazing on the show, and it's a joy to watch all four of them en masse or in different combinations just interact with each other. It's hilarious to watch, and it's so much fun.
And the beauty of it is it translates incredibly well on TV. And because, in other
Absolutely.
Words, it doesn't feel like, in other words, in the older days of game shows, sometimes you could tell what was TV and what wasn't. This feels like
Yes.
it's a party every day on the show. And
it really is. It really is. It feels like it, yes.
Now, what's a typical tape day like?
We tape two shows a day, and we'll usually tape 4 days a week. In fact, we have tickets available now for the upcoming season. We'll be starting season 6 in about a month or so.
Did you ever that would be at on-camera audiences and other places where you can find
right.
tickets.
Well, they can. I mean, we do a ticket plug on the show every day, but if they go to cbs.com/tickets, or the phone number is 888-533-2550, they can receive information as to how to get tickets. But to answer your question about our tape day, we spend the morning making sure that everything will look camera ready for the shows, and then we'll start taping the shows themselves at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And honestly, once we start taping, those shows go quickly. It would be odd if it went longer than an hour and a half of taping.
For an hour show?
All the while. For an hour show, it takes us maybe an hour and a half once we start rolling cameras.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Not bad at all. And we get two in a day, and it's the most fun you can have, period. And, you know, all the while, I mean, in the morning, as we're rehearsing our looks to make sure everything is going to look okay, the contestants are coming in, they're getting interviewed, and we're seeing we're seeing who is ready to be there to make those deals, and who will interact with Wayne and be present in the moment, because it is only an hour long show. We need to make sure we do get the deals done. So we're making sure that people are ready to go.
And I've noticed sometimes you will pick somebody who you didn't interview, who was just so interactive within the show, you'll make a deal with them. You'll switch up on the fly.
Oh, no. Everybody does get interviewed. If 200 people come in, we will talk to 200 people.
Right.
And so every single person will be talked to at some point prior to, before they set foot in the studio. So everybody gets talked to. We have a good idea of what's going on. But yes, absolutely. We may, in the moment, find that in the studio, somebody that we thought maybe wasn't quite, somebody who we thought before they entered the studio was amazing to talk to may not be quite ready in the moment, and yet there's somebody else nearby who is absolutely present and paying attention and is ready to make that deal.
Now, how many games do you have in rotation right now? How many different type of games?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the deals that we put together, I'm just going into the computer in my brain to kind of think about this one. We actually use about 150 different deals or games in rotation, and that's simply because we're doing so many shows in a week, and we don't want there ever to be the image that one show looks exactly the same as another, obviously. Otherwise, it gets boring
right
after a while as with a show like ours, because then it just becomes money or the box, money or the curtain, money or whatever, whereas we change it up and do different types of things. So when I'm beginning the process of putting together the shows, it's starting from a bank of about 150 deals or games that we'll work from and make sure that we can get those shows put together.
Now, one of the sort of the best things about the show to me is the interactivity within the show, the Twitter, the Instagram, and sort of the viewer-created songs. Did you set out to be as socially media aware as you guys are?
I think for us, given that where we started from, obviously we wanted to get our feet settled in seasons 1 and 2, but our involvement in the social media aspect of it was a way to reach out to the fans, and absolutely we were making a concerted effort to make sure that the fans were involved in some way, shape, or form, and give them a little more input into what it is we did, whether or not it was taking part in deals with our Twitter deal that we do at the end of each show, or the Zonks were something where people were submitting Zonk ideas anyway, and it was just a way for us to really take a chance to pool those suggestions together and give people that voice and tell them, hey, by all means, we want that opportunity to hear what you think would look great on TV as well. And when those Zonk suggestions are fantastic, we are more than happy to give the fans a voice in that sense. And likewise, I mean, the Twitter, all the social media, we really do. We appreciate our fans. We show it with the Twitter appreciation episode that we've done for the last 2 years now. By all means, we appreciate their input.
Now, again, first of all, let me just say, you have an Instagram account, you have a Twitter at Let's Make Deal CBS, which is the Twitter feed. But getting back to the Zonks, you have an incredibly creative art department.
Oh my gosh, yes. Holy cow. Yes.
How do they come up with some of the things like that? And when you see it from vision to reality, where are their warped minds coming from? Seriously.
I wonder that on a daily basis. I really do. We have guys who are very specifically tasked with the creation of the Zonks. But then we also, in as much as we try to get our viewer inputs for Zonks, we also encourage within the crew and cast themselves to take part. And if they've got ideas for Zonks that they think would work, you know, our art department will take advantage of that. And honestly, where I have submitted my own Zonk ideas, what you see on screen is about 50 times better than the idea that I put down on paper.
yeah.
It starts, you know, it starts from such a simple concept as, what if we put, you know, a gorilla on a giant tricycle? And in the end, it might become something so much larger than I ever expected or anybody ever expected. And it's just, we you know, literally, we take the ball and we run with it. And the guys who work that are flipping amazing. I cannot even begin. I mean, that's, you want to talk about Wayne and the humor, you know, the humor that he brings, and Jonathan and the humor he brings as well. Our Zonk departments, our Zonk guys, they are really there. They supply that added level of humor, and also they kind of soften the blow a little bit if people do end up choosing the Zonk, because now it's not just sorry you lost. It's fun. You know, I've talked to a number of people on after shows have taped. We try to get reactions of the contestants on the shows. And for the ones that get Zonked, their attitude about having taken part in the show is always amazing. And most of the time, it's because you can't do anything but help to laugh when you see the doors open up and it's the caveman living room or the giant bobbleheads or
the butterfly.
My gosh, I mean, any number of them. I mean, the butterfly was hilarious, you know. And all you have to say is butterfly, and it sounds like a simple concept, and then the Zonk department goes and actually makes a giant fly around a giant stick of butter. I mean, it's just amazing. I think that was actually, it aired on a show recently, so I mean, that just, it's amazing to me.
The great Monty Hall once said, and it's one of my favorite quotes of his, if you can get someone to kiss you or hug you after you've been Zonked, you've done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
And you still have a very good working relationship with Mr. Hall. He has appeared on
yes.
multiple occasions on the show.
Yes.
Tell us about that relationship and how you sort of keep that respect from the past to the present.
Now, understand where I'm coming from. I don't have as personal relationship. That relationship falls on the executive producers and the supervising producers who maintain contact with Monty, if not daily. They hear from him or they will talk to him. They'll call out to him on a regular basis. And so that level of communication is always maintained. His presence, even if he's not in the room, his presence is felt in the room at all times, and it's simply out of honor and duty to the legacy that he created that, for my part, I'm always conscious of him with regards to how we build those deals, with how I can contribute in building those deals. So that really, his legacy, you know, 50 years in the past and long time in the future will live on through this show and through his many contributions, many charitable contributions. I mean, the man is just gold as far as the television community is concerned and our show. So his presence is felt always.
Did you ever expect in your wildest dreams 5 years ago that you would go to, say, Las Vegas or Atlantic City and see Let's Make a Deal, your version of Let's Make a Deal, in a slot machine?
This version, I hadn't expected it. I know that there had been a previous version with Monty's, when Monty was hosting, there had been a previous version as a slot machine, but as far as this version is concerned, when I heard about it, it shocked me in a good way. I love the idea, and I've had the opportunity since, almost ironically, to go to the Tropicana in Las Vegas and see the Let's Make a Deal slot machine there. So we haven't been, as a production, we haven't been back in Las Vegas in 4 years, and yet we're back at the Tropicana through the slot machine, and I just find that to be just a nice circle to come back around to. So did I ever imagine it? No, not at all. I never imagined, personally, I never imagined that any show I would work on would end up as a slot machine. I'm, you know, at the base level, I'm grateful for the gig. On a legacy level, I am honored to be a part of an institution like this. And just on a fan level, I'm thrilled to see how far it actually reaches up to people.
Yeah. Now, as you know, the reason why I have you here outside is, you know, to promote the show, is the fact that the Emmy nominations are coming up this May 1st, if I'm not mistaken. Now,
correct, on Thursday, actually.
Thursday, May 1st. Now, what would it mean for you on a personal level and on a professional level for the show to be nominated for either best show, best host, or producer or something on that level? What would it mean to you?
For Wayne, for best host, come on. I mean, the man is incredibly talented. He deserves a nomination, in my opinion. He's a great guy outside of hosting the show. What he brings to the show, I dare anybody else to show me somebody else that does what he does. So, you know, in my mind, Wayne deserves a nomination for what he does. He deserves an award for what he does. He's won Emmys in other categories before, but he deserves one in the game show host category. And so hopefully this year we'll celebrate his success there. As far as the show is concerned, anytime that the show is recognized on any level, whether it's by the fans just, you know, saying we like watching the show, or with the Academy nominating us for an Emmy, you know, that's always appreciated. It means somebody's watching. It means somebody appreciates the effort we're putting into it, that it's received well, and that they're enjoying it. You know, our fingers are crossed for this go-round with the upcoming Emmy nominations. We're glad to be in the room. It would be nice if it went further than that, but if it doesn't, you know, at the end of the day, people are talking about us and appreciating what it is that we're bringing to the table, and we will continue to put out the same effort, the same show, always trying to improve it. We'll find ways that we might try to improve it, however that may be. So we just appreciate being mentioned.
A couple quick questions to end this. Do you personally have a favorite deal or favorite game on the show?
I have favorites that I have personally created, and I have favorites that were done by others that I just absolutely enjoy. I think there's one that we call No Complaining.
Yes.
Which is always an interesting watch to me, simply because the what would you do in that moment is, do you take something that somebody else already has, or do you go for the unknown? And the way that people deal with it in a group situation, in a group dynamic, is always fascinating to me. And sometimes, you know, the end result isn't always successful, and sometimes the end result can be just amazing. I personally like some of the more simple deals that, it's going to sound silly because it probably isn't considered a major deal, but for myself, rock, paper, scissors is a deal that I created, where it's such a simple concept, and it honestly, it's amazing how fair it actually is as a game, because it gives no side any particular advantage. It really is all left to chance, but based around such a simple concept. So that's one that every time I see it put up in a show, I'm always feeling kind of proud of that moment. And on a much larger scale, Panic Button is a favorite of mine that has been around. It was born from an idea that I had that had been then workshopped basically into this giant deal. For those who aren't aware of it, the simple concept is we show our trader three curtains full of prizes. We say they're all yours. However, you may not have them at the end of the deal simply because there's a panel of six buttons in front of you and you have to push three of them. The three that you push, each one may actually close one of those curtains. So you start with a lot of prizes, but you may end up with nothing. And the first time that we ever played it, I believe I have this right. The first time we ever played it, our first trader actually succeeded in keeping all three curtains open. And the second time we played it, we almost had the exact same thing happen. But ever since, it's amazing to see what happens. And the rise and fall of the audience with that is just amazing. So, and that's one that I'm proud of because it's been around for all five seasons, and we'll bring it back for season six.
Now, first of all, one of the little elements that I love from a personal fan level, and I didn't notice it till recently, is in the game Smash for Cash, which is, again, one
yes.
of... Okay. Jonathan is using a meat tenderizer as a mallet, and
yes.
I didn't get it, and then when I got it, I thought to myself, that's brilliant. That's so brilliant.
Yeah.
And you don't...
Within our art department, our prop department is amazing. I mean, everybody, but our prop department are on top of it, and so, yes, absolutely. They look for those details, and they'll add their touch to it, and it's so much fun.
As you said, you're just about to start season six in about a month.
Yep.
Anything you could tell us about what we can expect for season six?
Well, the one thing that I know for certain is that season six, over the course of season six, we will be celebrating our 1,000th episode.
Uh-huh.
That being said, that's going to be just as unpredictable as the rest of the season, so I can't even begin to tell you how it will go down.
Okay.
The magic of the show lies in the unpredictable nature of how the show is built and how the audience responds to it and how our traders react in the moment. So to borrow a phrase from another CBS show, expect the unexpected. And we don't even know what to expect ourselves, except for the fact that we will continue to work at the high standard that we've set and try to raise that bar every time so that the audience at home enjoys what we're putting out there.
Agreed. And again, congratulations on all the success on the show. Just Ben, one more time, just give us all the websites, the social media, and where people can find you guys.
The biggies would be if they're looking for tickets for the show, cbs.com/tickets, or they can call 888-533-2550. And our Twitter feed, we can be found at Let's Make Deal CBS. And from there, we have an Instagram account at Let's Make a Deal CBS. And those are the biggies right now. So we will continue to try to listen to the fans and use their input when and where we can.
At 100,
encourage that feedback.
I just looked, 146,000 followers.
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah,
that's not
biggest. As far as we know, we're the largest or biggest game show on Twitter right now. With 146,000 followers. So biggest daytime, yeah, something along that line. So we are more than pleased and appreciative that our fans have responded in such a way.
Ben Tridal, a producer for Let's Make a Deal on CBS. Of course, check your local listings. Thank you again for your time, and good luck with the Emmy nominations.
Thank you, Jason. Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
And thank you.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.